Hello, my name is Adam Taflamber, and you are listening to the Good Market Live podcast. Welcome back to another episode of Good Market Live. If this is your first time tuning in, from all of us here at Good Market, we're glad you made it. You belong here. This episode, it's another special episode, as it concludes our two-part Building a Better Brand series that we started last week. So if you haven't, make sure you go back and listen to our previous episode to get the full backstory of one of America's most iconic brands. In this episode, Good Market co-founders Harry Cunningham and Mary Beth Trippis are speaking with the incredible Patricia Miller, co-founder of Vera Bradley. During their conversation, Patricia delivers indispensable advice for business and life that everyone from early entrepreneurs to those waiting to take the next step can use to create something meaningful. Patricia talks about the importance of collaboration on creativity, the impact of having balanced leadership, and the enduring influence of building a brand dedicated to making a difference. As always, we are so happy to have you join us on this episode of Good Market Live, and we are so excited to showcase another story of an incredible founder.
It's such an exciting day for Mary Beth and me at Good Market Live. We have really one of our most exciting guests to date. Patricia Miller, co-founder of Vera Bradley, is joining us. And we are super excited to get into the story with her. Mary Beth and I have been like excited about this one for a while, just waiting for the day, like checking off the dates. So Pat, welcome to Good Market Live.
Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. So I think let's just jump right in. I mean, you know, obviously this is the 40th anniversary of Vera Bradley, and not the first thing that you have done in your career, obviously, but a pretty exciting career and an exciting one to have at perhaps at the top of the list. But you want to tell us how it started? I know that Mary Beth wants to talk a little bit about how you welcomed her to the neighborhood, but I've heard a story about you and Barb and how you met each other too. So you want to tell us how that all started?
How we met.
Yeah.
Barb and her family moved to Fort Wayne, and they moved to the neighborhood that the Millers lived in. And I happened to be the welcoming committee of one person. And she moved into a beautiful home, and I was really anxious to meet her. So I did go to her house with my son, Jay, who I think was five at that time. And Barb came to the door and literally had wallpaper hanging over her shoulder, because whenever she moved into a new home, like, she put her stamp on it, and wallpaper was part of that. So during the hellos, she said, "Do you know how to hang wallpaper?" And I said, "No." And she said, "How would you like to learn?" So that was the beginning of our first business, which was hanging wallpaper. And we had a company, quote, called Up Your Wall. And not only would we hang the paper, but we knew of a distribution center where paper would be sent when it was obsolete. And we would drive to Columbus, Ohio, and in a station wagon. That's when station wagons were big, if you had kids to haul, or wallpaper. So we picked up wallpaper. I think we bought it for maybe 50 cents a roll and sold it for $1 a roll. Came back and let our friends and neighbors know that we had wallpaper to sell. And if you needed someone to hang it, we were there too.
So that was
the beginning of our business career.
That's hilarious. Now, were you not working at the time when you met Barb?
I wasn't. I used to teach school. And in fact, I did teach school when we moved to Fort Wayne. Both my husband and I graduated from Indiana University. And I did teach school in Fort Wayne. But at that time, with three little boys, I was being a mom, as was Barb. So with her four children.
And I know Mary Beth knew that you were a school teacher. I didn't until you and I talked recently.
Know how I knew though? Because we talked about IU, but we were sorority sisters at different colleges. We're both Kappa Deltas.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. So we've had a lot of conversation about college days.
And I think you have a similar Pat story.
I do. So I moved in when I joined Vera Bradley over 5 years ago now, Pat, I guess. I lived in an apartment for the first 2 years, but then in my third year, I decided I need to buy a home, and I bought a home unknowingly, actually, in Pat's neighborhood.
Yeah.
And like day one, day two, and I get that knock on my door, and there's my welcome wagon of one with Pat at the door with a lovely basket of some food and just friendly welcoming. So I love that. I think, you know, the fact that you did that for me was super special. And I told Harry, you're a connector too, like introducing me to my neighbors in our neighborhood, even after I've been there for 2 years, because I just work. So Pat's trying to get me out more. So we had a lovely lunch with my neighbor and so gracious. Just what I love about Pat, the warm and welcoming part of who you are has been amazing.
Once a welcoming committee, always the
always.
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 And my fun Pat story was when we moved to Fort Wayne and my kids had just started school, and Pat was talking to me about getting the family here. And they had an event going on at school, a performance. And Pat said, well, I'll go. And no grandmothers were here. So Pat played surrogate grandmother. I was actually out of town. And so she got to tell me all about the performance. So
it was terrific. It was.
Well, Pat, you're such a connector. So I'm sure that had a positive impact on the way the part that you played at Vera Bradley. Love to hear more about that, too.
So. Well, Barb grew up in Miami Beach and Florida. And so one very cold February, Barb and I and her sister Joan and her friend from Columbus, Ohio, went to spend a week with Barb's family, her mother and father, and left our kids and everything to handle this cold and snow. And during that time, we went into a shop, which was Pierre Deux. And it was fabric, beautiful fabric, made into bags and lampshades and everything you can think of. And we loved it. We thought it was beautiful. And when we came back, we said, we think we can make a product that people would like that is lightweight, an American version of that as far as fabrics, went to a local fabric store and bought some fabric and made probably about a dozen prototypes, a duffel, what we call a sport, and then the handbag to put in a home show that we were doing, somewhat like a Doncaster Carlisle. And we had to come up with a name for marketing research so we would be able to tell if someone liked it well enough to buy it. So Vera Bradley was the name we chose, which happens to be Barbara's mother's name. My mother's name was Wilma Pulito. And it didn't exactly roll off the tongue. Vera Bradley did. So it became Vera Bradley, and we sold all the prototypes that we had in that home clothing show, and decided we may have an idea that worked.
And that's, Pat, and I think you were telling me.
I should say we each put in $250 to buy the fabric, and and we paid the seamstress who helped with alterations for the clothing show. We paid her to make the prototypes for us. Barb does so. You would not want any, even a potholder. I couldn't. But I did teach business and maybe knew a little something about that.
Pat, I think you told me the story one time about the apparel show that you all were doing in your homes. And I remember correctly, and please correct me if I don't remember correctly, I think that you weren't really supposed to be selling other products, but you put the bags out with the apparel and people were really drawn to the bags more so than the apparel. Is that right?
Well, I might have embellish that a bit, but yes, we sold all the bags.
Great. I love it. So I want to talk a little bit about the business piece, because you also have a career in public service a little bit. And I was super impressed when I heard that, but I don't want to steal the thunder. I'd love for you to tell listeners about your time working for the state.
Yeah. Well, one day I had a phone call from an individual that I knew in Indianapolis. And he said, I want you to come to Indianapolis and have lunch with a friend of mine. And I said, sure. I guess here's another meeting, Mary Beth, right? So I said, sure, anybody offers a free lunch, I'll go.
Well, good to know.
That person was Mitch Daniels. I did not know him, but Mitch had been president of Eli Lilly USA, and he was running for governor of the state of Indiana. And I met with him, and we got to know each other as well as you can for an hour over lunch. And I found out after the fact that he was searching for someone to run with him, among other offices, as Secretary of Commerce. He then eventually came up to Fort Wayne, and I gave him a tour of Vera Bradley. And fast forward, he asked me during his campaign to run for Secretary of Commerce designee. And I had a lot of people come up and say, what is that, you know? But he did win, and he did choose me to be Secretary of Commerce. And after much discussion and debate, thanks to my husband, he said, because I thought, no, I don't think I could do that. He said, when would you ever have an opportunity to do something like this? So I did. Mm-hmm. And Governor Daniels asked several businesswomen to serve in his cabinet for 2 years. And then after 2 years, find someone that can do the job better than you did, and you can go back to life that you had before. So right. That's what happened. And in those 2 years, I had a marvelous experience. And just the other day, I had someone say, how did you like being in politics? You know, like it was a horrible thing. Well, it was an experience I would not have wanted to miss.
Yeah,
I went through over 500 companies in those 2 years, and my job description was to find businesses to move to Indiana and help them grow and prosper. That was pretty simple because it put people to work. The state would get money from taxes, from the money that people made in their new jobs. And you got to see businesses thrive, which was wonderful. I met wonderful people and saw businesses start. Anything from Rolls Royce to a mom and dad that made most of the colored clay for grade school children. So it was just a marvelous experience.
I love that you had said that your husband, Mike, who we know, right, was mm-hmm. behind you saying you can do it, where you weren't feeling so, I'm not mm-hmm. quite so sure. And we do that. We do talk a lot of Vera Bradley about just say yes, figure it out later.
Yeah.
Just say yes and don't worry about it. And, you know, a lot of our partners within Good Market are in that situation. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you just need that little bit of encouragement goes a long way, right?
So true. So very true. Yes.
So Pat, did you have something?
Nope, go ahead.
So I was going to say, obviously, when you and Barb had this idea and you started making bags, a risk for failure for sure, right? Mm-hmm. Had you always been kind of a brave person and willing to take risks, or was this one that you just had a gut feeling about and you thought this might be it? Or how did that kind of affect you?
It's interesting you ask that, Harry, because I never really thought about it before, but I grew up in a very small town in central Illinois, and I wanted to go away to school. And away at that time was an 8-hour trip to Bloomington, which was IU. But in the last couple of years, we've been working with a gentleman that is doing a family history for the Millers and Pulitos. Mm-hmm. And he, after interviewing and asking questions, he made the comment that I liked to venture into new things. I like that. And I never thought about it, but that's the truth. I love new discovery and new situations and new people. And it's just invigorating to extend and expand on what you know and what you think. It's a continuous learning. And that's certainly, I think, the best way to live.
I love that. I think that's, I think I feel the same way as you do about that. And Mary Beth, I don't want to speak to you, but I think you're definitely that way too. Yeah. And I remember, I don't think it's really any comparison at this point, but when we walked into what is now the first Good Market here in Fort Wayne, the first time, it was like, we were discovering this place, but it also hit us as like, it was like, we knew, even though we didn't know what, and I don't think you and Barb knew. Now, you know, what you know now, you probably had no idea when you did the first few bags. And like, we didn't know then what we know now. And let's hope that we could be even half as successful. Well, but it's, you know, it's great to hear that, you know, that's a part of who you are.
Mm-hmm. You're, you know, we're all writing our own book. And that's true. And you're not sure what the second chapter, the third chapter, you're not certain what it will be, but it's very exciting to find out. And, you know, I felt that way when I first went into Good Market. I thought it was one of the most exciting stores I'd ever been in, because you're meeting in a way all these new entrepreneurs, and you can imagine their excitement and their hopes for the future.
Right, right. And I don't know if you remember what you said to me, but I will remember it forever.
And we quote it.
And we quote it all the time. When I remember we were there and you walked in the door and you said, I feel like the store just gave me a big hug.
Yeah.
And we couldn't ask for a better description of the store.
You know, I love that store. It's great.
It couldn't have been scripted any better when you said it. It was just like, and I remember when we were talking about launching the website, and we were talking about experiences we wanted for the Good Market website. And obviously it's a whole different experience. And I quoted you when we were talking about it. I said, you know, Pat said when she walked in the store, she felt like the store gave her a hug. And I want that same experience on the website. When somebody comes to the site, I want the website to give them a big virtual hug and share stories and make you feel welcome. And I think, you know, maybe that's just part of your DNA too, that you always make people feel welcome, but I hope that we certainly picked up on that and, you know, really were able to tap into it.
And your desire to learn too. I think that's inherent in your, what you had just said. And that's what the store is. It gives you that opportunity. The brand, the Good Market brand, gives you that opportunity to learn so much about all these things that people are doing that you have no idea. Right. Yes. Until you get into really hearing about it. And then you walk out feeling so good, even if with just a cup of coffee, you've still done good.
Yeah. You know, well, you did it. You made a store that's interesting and fun and inviting.
Thank you.
We love it. We're proud of it for sure. So Pat, one of the things that I want to tap into a little bit is as people are listening, many of them might be young entrepreneurs. Many of them might be established entrepreneurs. Many of them might be people that will never be entrepreneurs, but just want to do good. But talking about the entrepreneurs first, you know, and you've probably had this question asked a dozen times or more, or a dozen times. You talked a little bit about discovery, but what would you tell people that are sort of teetering on that place about, do I take the risk? Do I do it? Do I not? What kind of advice would you say to somebody starting out a company? You know, maybe they're a year in, or maybe they just have it in their head.
Mm-hmm. We had this advice. I read, as soon as we decided to do this, I went to the library and got a book on starting companies. And
of course you did. What else would you do? Barb's out there doing la 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 la, and you're like, I'm going to the library. I'm getting a book.
One thing, if the wheel's been invented already, you don't have to do it. So, you know, why start from scratch when someone else has done it? So you can read a book on what somebody else did. It may not be what you did, but or do, but it might add some good thoughts. And so I did. And it was like he was speaking to me. It said, if you're conducting a business, a new business at your kitchen table, don't let anyone know you are not the most successful business going. Don't let them know you're at the kitchen table and kind of stumbling with, what do I do next? So that's, I think that was very good advice. So we tried to have the best looking letterhead, all this and that. Although I'm sure it wasn't the best, but you should extend to people looking in that you are very successful, very businesslike, and somebody you they would like to do business with.
That's fantastic
perception
advice.
Perception is reality.
Perception is reality. That's really, really fantastic advice. I love that. We talked a bit when, you know, at Vera Bradley, we've talked a lot about the history and kind of the things that have come in and come out. And one of them obviously was the apparel line that was around. And I know you all used to wear the apparel to the shows.
Full Vera. We called it Full Vera, you know, if you were full in Vera.
Do you still have any? Do you still have any of the apparel laying around?
I'm not sure. I might. I'm not sure.
It's cool again, by the way.
It's cool again.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Right. So I'm not sure. But I do remember when we did the New York gift show, from our hotel, we would get on a bus that would take us down to Javits Center. And I remember on the bus looking out the window in Manhattan, and I saw a woman wearing Full Vera. And I thought, yes.
And she wasn't working for you.
And she wasn't working for you. She was actually wearing it.
Yeah. Well, and the other funny story is we always, when we were manufacturing the clothing, we wore the outfits in the booth of the gift shows. And so we always closed the show on a certain day and then went right to the airport, got on the plane and went home, and we didn't change our clothes. So we must have had four or five women on the plane in Full Vera. And the stewardess came back and said to one of us, okay, who's the seamstress? Kind of look like a cult, I think.
maybe we should try that again. We should try that again for a show. We can all go up on the airplane. Was there anything, obviously the company has tapped into a lot of different areas with print. Was there anything that you think back on that you're like, why did we do that?
Yes. I'm not going to divulge that.
That's though. Good. Anything that you are super excited that you tried that maybe you didn't think about trying first?
Super excited about something we tried. Oh gosh, I think we're excited about everything we try. You know, you just, and as far as starting a business, if anyone's listening to this, I think sometimes because it was two of us and then we would bring friends in, but you did have a sounding board right in front of you. If it was two of you, what if you'd say, what if, or how about this? Or it's kind of like two kids deciding what to do. I like bouncing things off of people, and we did that with each other. Mm-hmm. And Barb and I are different, which is, I think it's a plus, because mm-hmm. I'm more the bean counter and she's let's do it. And then somewhere in the middle was probably the answer.
Yeah.
Pat, that's Harry and
that's
I.
That's how we are too.
I am Patricia Miller.
And I like to pick the beans. I don't want to count them. I just want to pick the beans.
But I agree. I think that to have that really creative, like, why can't we head with the part of me that
the reality.
I'm a reality check, but we're both trying to grow into each other too. Yeah. I need to think more, why can't we? And Harry, you know, needs to think more reality.
Yeah, exactly. But it's funny though, because I would say that I don't know that I'm even authorized or able to even offer advice at this point. But for me, I think it was about like find your balance. Mm-hmm. You don't need to find somebody just like you. Mm-hmm. It's much more productive. And even Pat, to your point, like Mary Beth and I bounce ideas off constantly. Mm-hmm. 7 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock at night, Sunday at 11 over coffee. It doesn't matter. Like, and I think there's so much to be said for finding your balance versus finding your same.
Sure. And anything goes. You can say, how about this? And it could be just wild and crazy and not right. But yeah. You're not going to be reprimanded by doing that. You know,
yeah, I think there's no fear. There's no ego. It's just like, find somebody that you can hang with that understands that you're a little bit crooked and crazy and they are too, and just have fun.
That's right. That's right.
I think that's great advice too, is Harry and I were talking about this the other day about, you know, who would have thought in where we are in our careers and coming from department store and wholesale background that we would have had the opportunity to be entrepreneurs within this organization and take what we've learned, but know enough to not be stuck by what we've learned, mm-hmm. to be able to just take that tribal knowledge and apply it differently. And open the doors up to so many other people who are trying to do things that I don't think I've appreciated how much I know until I've met people who appreciate how much I know.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Truly. Yes. But then also flipping that around. And I know, Pat, you're a great mentor to a lot of women, younger women too. I learn as much from them every day as they're learning from me every day. And if you can be open to listen to that and then apply it to things that you want to do differently, it all works. You just have to be that student that you are still, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You just constant learning, just listening and being open to things, whether or not you decide later on, no, that doesn't work for me. But at least be open, absolutely open.
And I think one of the things that I want to thank you for, and we did, I thanked Barb as well when I saw her last, is you two built a culture of entrepreneurship here at the company too. I mean, coming in as entrepreneurs, you know, you really did. And I think that people inside the company, it didn't just happen. Right. I believe it's part of the DNA of the brand,
sure.
that you were entrepreneurs, but you also took great care to make sure that people felt a sense of ownership and people could be creative thinkers and people could do things that were outside the norm. And maybe that's because you went in learning yourselves or whatever it is. But I mean, a huge thanks to you for building something. You know, there are lots of companies out there that are our size that would never dream of the types of things, the types of innovation that we can do here. Yet it's almost encouraged, if you don't innovate, you need to figure out how to innovate. And I think that's such a great part of what you started.
Well, you too, and I think almost everyone in the company embodies energy. That you go into a meeting and I don't care if you decide not to do something, but it's energetic. And if you have energy, you have fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we knew originally we had mostly women, all women at first. And we realized the work that they did at work didn't even compare to the work they did when they went home. They had a second job that was very important and huge. But I went to a meeting yesterday here and I came out of it thinking there was no energy in that meeting. None. And it's no fun that way.
Yeah.
And it's not creative that way. I mean, you two embody it. You're just energetic and enthusiastic. And you want somebody to say, oh my gosh, I want to work for them, or I want to work with them. When the late John Madden, I watched, he was a football coach and a radio or TV commentator. My gosh, after you saw his story, you thought, I'd love to have met him and better yet work with him. Because he had such passion and energy. And that's what I feel about Vera Bradley. They do have a passion. You can feel it when you walk in the building. Yeah.
You definitely
can. That's a big reason why I'm here too. When I met you and Barb before I even joined the company, I was like, yes, I think number one, I think I could add a lot of value. Number two, I think I can learn a lot. And number three, I think I would love it because of just that spirit and energy, and I'll fit right in and I can help. Right. I love it. Yeah. It's
and
such a great
kind of reflecting on where we are today, not we as the company, but we as a world with working at home and all of that. I personally wouldn't want to work at home. I like the stimulation of a team.
Me too. Now,
that it doesn't work for everyone probably, but I do like the stimulation of working face to face with people.
Yeah. I think that the idea of an office in to somebody that's just starting their career might be an exciting thing. And I think after you've lived in an office for a while, the idea of working in a team setting, in a group setting, around a table, for me, is much more fun than being stuck in an office by myself. It's just like, I get stir crazy being by myself. And I mean, even now I come over and sit with Mary Beth and knock on her, hey, let's go. What can I just work from here? Because it is, to your point, like it's much more inspiring and just being around people and just.
Yes. And those are the moments where they're unprompted that you create new ideas too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think
like
so.
Our birthday latte.
Yeah, our birthday latte.
we just came up with an idea for Good Market last week. Is about we were talking about birthdays and how important birthdays are and how fun they are. And you know, there's obviously the great Vera Bradley birthday card story that's been around for years. But we were saying we need to do something at Good Market. What could we do? And so we're like, oh, let's do a birthday latte. So I went and grabbed some sprinkles. Mary Beth hopped on a call. We made a latte. I went and showed her. What do you think? Like, it's cool. Like,
let's fun. Do it.
But it's
I love it.
Just go do it. So for your next birthday, we'll make sure you get a birthday latte.
All right, I'll remember that.
Perfect. Perfect. You can even have two if you want. One, an iced and a hot. I want to talk for a minute about the foundation, the Vera Bradley Foundation for Breast Cancer, and the golf tournament. And I know it taps back into your I think you're a pretty decent golf player out there.
I wouldn't say that, but I do like to golf. I do like to golf.
But love to hear your take on the foundation. And, you know, I was talking to somebody just a couple of days ago about our foundation. And I know that part of, you know, our story at Good Market is that people have found their purpose and they've created these products that support a purpose that they found, you know, at whatever point they were in their lives. And our foundation is much like that. It was never created to be a marketing vehicle. I mean, that wasn't something even thought about when the foundation was created, but I'd love to hear your take on the foundation, the golf tournament, and kind of where we are today.
Sure. I think when we started the company, certainly we wanted to be successful, but also if it was successful, we really wanted to give back in some way. And Barb's college roommate, Mary Sloan, contracted breast cancer and passed away. And she was just a fabulous person. And so when it came time to be able to do something philanthropic, we wanted to have a women's event. And we started with a golf tournament. And we had tennis. I'm thinking we had golf first and then tennis. And it is only women that can play in it. We thought, I remembered, here's golf again. I've heard at the Masters tournament, some of the men that work the tournament for crowd control or directions or whatever are some of the most successful businessmen in the country. And I'm hoping they have women that do this now too. But so then I thought, well, not I, we thought that if we had this golf tournament, we would ask, and it would be just women that would be playing, that we would ask some of the successful heads of businesses in Fort Wayne or beyond to be the scorekeepers. In other words, if you are involved and take part in something and understand it, chances are you're going to be supporting it more wholeheartedly than otherwise. So that was how we started. And then we've kept adding. And we did say at the very beginning, now we can't have it the same every year. We have to make it a little more exciting by adding something each year to make people say, make them not say, well, I've done that, So I'm not going to do it next year, but also for a good cause, which was breast cancer. And that's what Mary died of. So breast cancer research, we have a fabulous research hospital, Indiana University School of Medicine and Hospital. And that's who we give our money to because of research. And so it's gone on for quite a long time and been very successful, but we still have not eradicated that terrible disease. And so we'll keep going with it until it isn't something that women have to fear.
Yes, we will. And it's one of my most cherished times of the year here. I am not a golfer. I am not a good golfer, but it's all about the outfit and the cocktails that the scorekeepers bring on the course. So needless to say, I'm in the afternoon groups and we have a really great time.
I think I caddied, kept score / bartended for you last year. It was great. And it was a cloudy, rainy day and we still had a great time.
And for anyone listening who wants to get involved, please do.
And we have raised so much money.
So much money. And you don't have to be a golfer. It's just a really, really fun time and very
and
warm.
Better than the money we've raised, that money has turned into, if not a cure for breast cancer, certainly treatment that has progressed a great deal over these years.
Yes, the research that has been allowed.
Well, Pat, I think we could probably talk for the rest of the day another day tomorrow too. But
we'll take you out for a free lunch though.
Yeah, next when you're back, lunch.
Hey, I will remember that.
Lunch. So far we have lunch, dinner, birthday lattes. Birthday lattes, yeah. We'll take care of you.
Hey, you can interview me anytime. That's
before
great.
Before we go, we have what we call the goodbye questions. 5 of them that we ask each one of the guests that we're lucky enough to have on the podcast. So we're going to kick these off with you. And these are totally random. I think that our listeners know by now that there's no pre-planning. We don't let you know what they are ahead of time. And I guess anybody could listen to a podcast before they're on here, but hopefully you're not prepared.
I'll go first.
You're going to go first. Go.
Okay, Pat, what does good mean to you?
Good. Oh boy. Two things I'd say are very good. One is curiosity, and the other would be kindness.
Great guy. Cool.
Really good answer.
Cool. So I know that you're retired from Vera Bradley now, but thinking back to your time at Vera Bradley, what one word described what you were doing then that is probably still appropriate for what we're doing now?
What am I doing now and then? Discovery.
Discovery. Good. I like that.
Okay. If you could say one good thing to somebody, who would that be?
Maybe it would be someone perhaps going through some difficulty. Try to make a moment better.
I think one of the things that I always know about you every time we see you is you always smile. And even without even saying anything, when we come around the corner, when you're in town and you're there, there's always a smile. As soon as eyes connect, Pat smiles. And I think that suits you so perfectly well. It's really a great thing. Okay, next question. What is a good quote you think about a lot?
Ooh, a good quote. Gee, that's a hard one. probably the best is yet to come.
I love that.
That's fantastic.
Really, really good one. Okay, in closing, if you could have one person other than you tell your story, who would that be?
Mike Miller.
I knew Mike was going to come in there somewhere.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, when you said, if there was one good thing you could say to somebody, what would that be? I'm thinking, thank you, Mike, for enabling you or encouraging you to just go do it. Just go do it. Look what it's
absolutely.
Like.
Yeah.
We should get Mike on here. I so enjoy talking with Mike, and you know, Mike's a little bit quiet, but he is always fun to talk to, and he always is inspiring and encouraging. And I think, obviously, Pat, you've been lucky enough to be married to Mike and live with Mike for a long time. But you know, it's just he might have to be on our guest list pretty soon too. He would be a fun one to have on here too, and I'm sure he has some stories to tell.
Yeah. It could be a whole new perspective of podcast. Yeah, the spouses of the founders.
Yeah, he does have some stories, I know.
We might have to let Pat sit in the editing room when we do my Well, Pat, it's such a joy talking to you today. Can't wait for you to get back to Fort Wayne. Thank you so much for taking time.
Thank you.
Are you going to be out on the golf course this afternoon?
Well, I was yesterday afternoon. In fact, I must have been bitten by something, because it looks like somebody KO'd me on my left eye. I thought, boy, this is perfect for a video, you know, but I don't know.
We can't tell.
The lighting coming from the side is perfect.
Yeah. We had, this is snowbird time, and we've had a lot of people coming in, getting out of ice, snow, cold weather, and it's great. We love it.
Good. Well, we're anxious for you to get back here. So snow is moving its way away, and we're moving into the next season. So we'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
Thanks again.
I look forward to it. Thanks.
Take care.
Thanks, Pat.